the house of the Lord. Oh, the scripture says that it was good when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And here we are. And I trust today that you'll just open your heart. You put your faith out there and you'll just say, God, I'm here. I'm here to love you and worship you and honor you and give you the best that I have. And God, here I am, and touch me today. Change me today. Would you pray with me? Let's do that together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have made this day for us and that you are watching over us as you do and that you're caring for us. And Father, we are just excited to be together to spend this time in praise and worship and to focus our time and our attention on you and to just be in your presence today. And Lord, we ask this morning that you would bless all that we do. We just give this service, our time, and our lives to you. We ask, God, that you would be glorified and honored in all that we do today. And Father, we do ask that those that will face the storm later today, that you would provide and protect and sustain life. And God, minimize and even eliminate damage, Lord. Just make that storm less and less even before it makes landfall. Father, we just commit it all to you. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm excited this morning. As you look around, it's altogether different than it normally is. Steve's on vacation, and we've got a whole clan of Finneys that are with us today. And got Mr. Finney right out here. And, of course, Carrie's back. And we've got, you know, Chris. He's part of us now. And then there's Anthony. And we are delighted today to have Sherry Mark City. And she's going to be leading our praise and our worship today. So come on, let's just give the Lord all that we got today as Sherry comes and leads us. God bless all of you.
Are you all ready to sing and worship God? Oh no, just because Steve's gone, that doesn't cut it. Are you ready to sing and worship the Lord? All right, we're going to start out with Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, that are longing to see his face. Will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Okay, if you're able, everyone stand, please, for Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will be my shield and portion me as long as life endures. Though many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and faith will lead me home. When we shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's grace than when we first begun.
Excellent. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Sherry. Amen. Well, it's a privilege again to be able to think about the grace of God. Aren't you glad that He loves you today and He saved you? Man, we're headed for home. That's where we're headed for. I want to take a moment this morning just to look across the audience and see if perhaps somebody's here for the very first time. And if that's you, I have something that I want to share with you. Forgive me for not picking that up on the way up here, but we have a little packet. It's a little gift. Looks just like this, and it's for all of our first-time friends. And at the end of the service, as you're getting ready to leave, I'll be at the back right corner by the information desk, and I would love to just present one of these to you and shake your hand and introduce you. So if this is your first time today, welcome aboard. Come on back and worship with us again. A couple of announcements that are going on. I want to take your attention to the announcement page, and I don't want to take the time to go through all these and read them, so please do that. But there are a couple of sign-up sheets that are in the back at the information desk back in the back right corner. One is for a ladies' Bible study. You can read about that. The other one is for the visitation team. We're having a meeting, and we're opening up ministry opportunity. If you'd like to be part of our visitation team or you'd like to learn about it, come and join us. All the information's there in the bulletin. And then I will say that we are just plugging away, and Tammy's done an excellent job with the church directory. It's almost ready to launch for all of you. We do have a makeup day coming, and there are still opportunities. We still need information from some of you. If you've not given Tammy the information on the back tables, there's a little information sheet, a half sheet of paper. It's white, and you can just grab that, fill it out, get that back to Tammy, and just keep in mind, if you've not had your photo taken, I'm going to hound you until we get some photos. If this is your church, you don't have to be a voting member, but you go here. This is your church. You're a part of the family, and we want you to be in our church directory. So makeup day's coming up in a couple of weeks, August 18th. The last thing I want to say in announcements is I put a little paper out today, just a little devotional by Alistair Begg, Stepping Out in Faith. We've been talking a lot around about in our messages on faith, and even today that's kind of the sub theme in what we're talking about. So I saw this week, and I made a copy and made sure I didn't copyright it wrong or anything like that, but it's out there. It's on the table in the back. I think this is in the back table only, so you might want to pick one of those up as well today. And then I am aware that just want, because we're family here, Joe and Betty Jo Schell just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. So God bless you. And I will tell you this without saying too much. They are just dressed very wonderfully in their apparel today, and you may want to just shake their hand at some time and check out what they're wearing today. That's a wonderful thing. I'll tell you, you guys, 50 years together, that's such a blessing. And boy, I'm excited this morning to have all of you guys and Sherry and Mr. Finney. Would you stand? Would you stand? Just stand to your feet. God bless you. Let's welcome him today. Amen. So here's Dad, and he got this whole thing started, and we look up here, and I think I've got the ages right. I think I'm going to go from, I'm going to get there, but I think it starts age-wise. Are you older than these two? So it's Chris Finney, right? He's part of us. He's our drummer now. And then you guys all know Carrie. I think he's next in line, right? Carrie, welcome back. And Anthony. I met Anthony this morning. You're not next? Are you the baby?
I know I look older than all of them.
I didn't say that. I didn't even think that. And over here is Karen. Is she the only sister?
Another sister younger than
I. Okay. Karen. Okay. And then Anthony's the baby. All right. But I want you to welcome the Finneys today. God bless them for coming back. Amen. And let's give Sherry a round of applause. Thank you for stepping in to take care of the music today. Amen. And amen. We're going to sing a little bit more. So come on back and let's minister together.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story.
Sing it out.
Song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. John, all is at rest. I in my Savior
and happy and
blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Day Savior all the day long, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you for carrying that for me. Okay, and 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I fruit him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Thank you.
Thank you, after you. Amen. Well, we can trust in ourselves or we can trust in the Lord. Better to trust in the Lord. Think of that verse. It says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of our Lord. Amen. We're going to go to prayer this morning, and just by a raise of hands, how many came in carrying a burden today? You're carrying something with you. Yes, yes, across this room. We've been saying this for a while, and I want to repeat it today. You can either carry that burden in and carry it all through the service in your lap and walk out of here and carry it on your back as a big 10,000-pound weight. Or during this service sometime, maybe during the praise and the worship, maybe in the praying, maybe in the preaching, you can take that big burden and you can lay it at the foot of the cross. You can say, God, I don't want to carry this. Jesus said, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's light. So wouldn't you want to exchange yours for his today? So let's do that as we pray. God saw the hands. He knows your burden. He knows your need. He knows the circumstance. We've added just one this week, Daniel Brennan. He's works here at Nettles. He's part of Nettles. If you're here, part of Nettles, you know probably Daniel. And he's going through some serious health issues and concerns and some finances because of the health issues. And we wanted to put him on our prayer list today. We're going to pray for him by name, but we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for all of these names that are here. I'm laying my hand on this today. If you want to do that on yours, just put your hand on your prayer list. Cover it today. And let's together be the people that cover our brothers and our sisters and our loved ones in prayer as we go to God. Pray with me. Father, we just look to you this morning. It is just a wonderful thing to be able to trust in the Lord, to trust in Jesus, to bring all of our burdens and all of our cares to you. We sang it, Lord. We sang it really in preparing our heart to pray. Father, you saw the hands that went up across this room this morning. So many needs and so many heavy burdens. So many concerns, heartaches, maybe their health issues. We don't know what they all are, but you do. for you're there with us, you see us, you walk with us, you're a part of our life every day. When we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you're right there with us to bring us through it, God, to bring us to the other side. And so, Lord, we pray this morning for all of these needs. We lift up Daniel this morning, and we lift up the names that are on this list as we lay our hand upon it, and each one that's here that with a burden. Father, we ask that in the name of Jesus, by the stripes that you bore at Calvary, God, that you would pour out today your power and your move of glory into each and every heart and every life. Holy Spirit, that you would begin to flow with the healing virtue and the healing power of Jesus, the victory power, the joy power, the peace power, whatever it is we have need of today, the financial power of your glory, let it flow into our lives today, meet our needs. Lord, the relationships that need mended today, the hearts that need healed, the souls that need to be saved in our families, oh God, that you would pour into us today. Lord, that sense of hope and faith to trust in you. Father, we bring our burdens and we lay them at the cross today. We say, Lord, I'm not leaving with this burden. I'm going to leave it with you. And I'm going to trust your promise and stand upon the word. Father, we thank you for all of this. We thank you that you love us. Jesus, we thank you that you died to save us, and not only to save us, but to work victories and miracles in our lives. And so we trust you today. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done in every life represented in this room and on these papers in our bulletin today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. It's, again, good to have Carrie and the Finneys back with us today. And they're going to do a special song called Come Morning. So, Carrie, I invite you to come on up. And let's just allow the Lord to bless us as we listen together today.
Good morning, Nettles. It's good to be back. We're going to bring back an old song. I'm sure you've all heard of the tragic news of the Nealon family when the terrific plane crashed. This was one of their classic number one songs that Karen's been singing since she was a little 12 years old, not nine maybe. But I said that would be how appropriate to bring this song back today. So, and it's also my dad's favorite song, and he's here today. So you listen to the words of this song. We've been singing it for a while, but we haven't sang it in many years. So listen to the words of this.
God's children too long have been driven. They are longing for heaven's green shore, where heartaches are left far behind them and burdens are carried no more. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, yet I question, oh Father, how long? But then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'm gonna rest 'neath trees. So carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. So carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Glory for me.
Amen. Can we do that after? Can we do that after church today? Yeah, let's do that. Amen. Amen. You know, it's good to have Carrie back with us. Bring the family with him today. Amen. Amen. Carrie, don't go too far away. Would you like to listen to Carrie play a couple of songs this morning? Would you? Come on back and just grab that piano if you would, and just play a little bit. Play us a little medley this morning.
My mind's blank.
All right. God bless you. Amen. Thank you.
the city. Come on. It's been a long time since I played this. So. Let's see.
Well, we might as well sing it.
Come on, Karen.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away.
Sing it all.
I'll fly away, oh glory. Fly away to thy die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I'll fly away.
Amen. Amen. Did you enjoy that? Ah, it's good music, good singing. Mr. Finney, thanks for bringing your kids today. Appreciate that. It's a privilege to have them with us. I talked to Carrie before today, but again this morning, sometime over the winter, we need to bring these guys back for a concert, don't we? Would you like that? Yeah, I think so. I think now that you know about that, they're going to be committed to have to be back for the concert. Amen. Well, we're going to get into our scripture this morning, and I want you to take your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. All righty. When heaven seems silent, when heaven seems silent. You know, last week we shared a message on trusting God when it doesn't make sense. And God just kind of got me in this thought process, and I don't know why, about encouraging us and building our faith. And, you know, we have to be ready. We have to be strong. You look at the world around us, and it just doesn't look all that great, does it? But God's great, and He's made some great promises to you and I as His children, and He's there for us. But sometimes the heavens just seem silent. So let's take a look at our scriptures together. This is the passage of scripture that's talking about Paul the apostle when he was given a thorn in his flesh and he prayed and he talked to God and the heavens were kind of silent for a while. So let's look. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh. Some versions say it this way. Painful physical ailment. Handicap. Trouble in my body. That's what we're talking about when we talk about the thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. So we see there it was sent from Satan to hurt him, to hurt Paul. A messenger sent from Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with God, with the Lord, three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Good News version of verse 10 says it this way. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Have you ever felt like God's just not listening? How many? How many of you have ever felt like that? God's just not listening. He's just not there when I'm praying. He's not there. You've sought the Lord for help, for an answer, for something, and there's just no answer. It feels like the heavens are closed up. It's like, God, what's going on here? I'm pressing in, I'm praying, I'm asking, and God, there's just nothing there. And we're going to talk about that today and probably next week. This will probably turn into a two-parter this morning and finish next week. But we love testimonies about answered prayer, don't we? Oh man, when something happens good in somebody's life, when somebody gets a healing or a blessing or a miracle or a financial wonderful experience where their finances, we love to talk and hear and listen, and it does something to us, and it's just wonderful when God miraculously intervenes in somebody's life, and it even then motivates us to be more diligent in our prayers, doesn't it? When you hear somebody else's story, it encourages us. And so we pray with confidence and we pray with boldness, convinced that God's going to answer. And we do what we know the Bible tells us to. We ask and we seek and we knock as we were told to do so that the door will be opened up to us. But then sometimes nothing. Sometimes nothing. It seems like God's just not there, that there's silence in heaven and it's like we're praying into the wind. And the thing that we've asked for, it doesn't happen. We're not seeing a result from our prayer, from our faith. Our zeal then begins to get crushed, and we begin to wonder, what happened? What's wrong? And then we start having the thoughts, don't we? Is it even worth it? Should I even keep on praying? Did I do something wrong? Is God mad at me? Does God even hear? Does He even care about me? I can tell you those thoughts are not from heaven. Those thoughts come right out of the pit of hell. And that's why the Bible tells us we are to take every thought captive and bring it into subjection and under the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just let thoughts run around in our mind like they're in charge. We're in charge of all of that, and God's given us the authority to take that thought captive. Is it worth it? Should I even pray anymore? Maybe I messed up here. Sadly, sometimes when Christians don't receive what they're asking for and when heaven is silent, they just give up. They just give up. They quit. They throw in the towel and they walk away. And some folks have even departed from their faith. They've walked away from God because they've prayed, they've asked, and it didn't happen. They didn't get an answer. Heaven was quiet. I think of Ted Turner. Does anybody remember a guy named Ted Turner? He's the guy that started CNN years ago in Atlanta. Remember him? Television mogul Ted Turner. Ted Turner is now one of the loudest voices who criticizes Christianity. And he had a very strict Christian upbringing. Did a little research on him this week. He even considered as a young teenager, a young boy, in becoming a missionary. At one point in his life, he was walking with God and he felt like maybe he was going to be a missionary and was supposed to do that. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution quoted him as saying that he was, now this is not biblically accurate, but this is what Ted said, that he was saved 7 or 8 times in his life. You only get saved once. All right, it sticks. The blood of Jesus is all powerful. But Ted, for some reason, he was quoted. He said, yeah, I've been saved 7 or 8 times. So he talked about the word salvation, kind of knows a little bit about all of this. But today he is a voice against Christianity. He's an agnostic. He doesn't want to believe in God. You see, he became disenchanted with Christianity when, despite his prayers as a teenager, his sister didn't get better. She died. She had lupus. And for 5 years, Ted's sister struggled with this disease, and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and she didn't get better. She died. And Ted gave up on God. Now, I've said from this platform before that God always answers our prayers. God's not deaf. He's not busy somewhere on the other side of heaven, doesn't know what's going on at Nettles and with you and with me and with us. God always answers our prayers. Sometimes, most of the time, hopefully, he's saying yes if we're praying according to his will, right? Sometimes he says no, right? The Bible says the answer isn't right there. It's not yes, it's not no, and the heavens seem like brass, or they seem like they're closed off because there's a delay, and what God is saying is not yet. God knows what he's going to do. It's just not yet. I want to talk to you about the no when God says no for just a moment in this. In Psalm 66, it says this in verse 18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart. Another version says, if I cherish sin, if I enjoy my sin. I'm going to tell you, saints, we're saints because of the blood of Jesus, not because we're perfectly right. We still mess up from time to time. We still sin. We still fall short of the glory of God from time to time. Even as Christians, we're not perfect people. And so the Bible says here in the Psalms, if I regard iniquity, if I cherish, if I enjoy my sin in my heart, if my heart lives to sin, the Lord will not hear me. Right? That's Bible. That's God saying that. Now, there's been some bad teaching that's based on that's out there that I want to clear up real quick. The bad teaching is God's no. When God says no, that's because I did something really evil and bad and I'm being punished, and that means that we're not living right with God. I've heard evangelists and I've heard preachers over time come up with and say, well, you know, you would have gotten healed, but you just don't have enough faith. You see, without faith, without having faith, it's sin, the Bible says. We've got to come to Christ in faith. We've got to live by faith. The Bible says that. So without faith, there's sin. So I've heard evangelists tell people that came for prayer, you don't have enough faith. Basically, you've got the sin of doubt in your life, and God's not going to do anything for you. And that's not what this verse is talking about. Sometimes God says no. And it doesn't mean that God's saying no because I'm not living perfectly. Listen, if it comes down to living perfectly, none of us are going to make it through the gates one day. But we live righteously. We live holy lives because of what Jesus has done, and we're covered in the blood of Jesus. And hopefully, when I sin or when you sin, we're convicted immediately and we fall before the Lord, whether we're sitting or kneeling or whatever we're doing, and we're going, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to say that or do that. I don't want to live like that. I want to live close to you. And God says, you're forgiven. And then he throws that sin as far away as the east is from the west and into the sea of forgetfulness. God's no isn't just limited to those that are living sinful lives, like the psalm says. And so if you've ever been under a pastor or evangelist or somebody that did that, and you walk around in a guilt and go, well, if God doesn't answer my prayer, it's because I'm all messed up and I'm living in sin. That's not necessarily the case. No matter how spiritual or how righteous or how holy we can be, there are going to be times that God's response is a no to what we're asking for in prayer. It doesn't matter how much we've sacrificed or endured or accomplished for the cause of Christ. There will be times that it feels like God has turned a deaf ear on our requests. Paul's an example of that. Our text this morning is the example of one who accomplished great, amazing things for God. He started new churches. He was the greatest missionary that ever went out for Christ. He started new churches all through Asia and into Europe. And he's written down great portions of the New Testament. He trained young pastors and missionaries and duplicated and sent himself out. But even for him, there were times when heaven was silent. And it's true of all of us as well. So how are we going to respond when that happens to us? Let me give you the first of three, and next week we'll cover the last two. The first of three Christ-honoring responses that will support us and keep us steady and keep us walking in faith when we're facing one of those times when heaven seems silent and the answer hasn't come, or it's not, or it does come and it's not what we've asked for. So number one is to continue seeking the face of God in prayer. Don't quit. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Don't be a quitter. When you're praying and you're asking and you're seeking and you're knocking and the heavens are silent to you, you're not hearing God's voice, you're not hearing His Spirit, you're in your Bible and you're seeking God and you're trying to learn what the answer is going to be, or you're asking Him for something and it's not happening, don't quit. Continue to seek the face of God in prayer. Paul says in our text this morning, he said, I pleaded three times. There was a messenger sent, a thorn in my flesh sent from Satan, and I pleaded with God three times, he says. Paul's prayer was persistent. It was passionate. He was pleading with God. He wasn't just flipping through life and going, oh, by the way, after I finish my hot dog, God, you think maybe you could do this for me? He was pleading with God. When he talked about praying three times, it doesn't mean that he casually prayed over this need. Paul didn't just throw in an add-on at the end of his breakfast, lunch, and dinner prayers and say, oh, thanks for the food, and God, oh yeah, if it'd be in your plan, or if you could be kind to me, please take away this problem that I have. Now I got to go do my thing. No, Paul was pleading with God. We see that. He uses that word pleading. He was passionate and he was emotional. And I believe that there were times that even tears were there. And that word for pleading or pleaded is the same word that's used in Mark chapter 5, verse 23. I'll just tell you real fast what that's about. That's where Jairus, the temple, he was the leader of the synagogue there up in the north end, I think in Capernaum. And his little daughter had gotten really, really sick, and she was about to die. And he went and found Jesus. And when he found Jesus, it says that he cried out to Jesus to heal his daughter. It says that he begged. He fell on his knees, and he was begging God, please, God. He was pleading with God. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Those guys that have preached and said, if you really have faith, you pray once and you never pray again, they don't understand the Bible. They heard somebody else parrot it years ago and they thought it sounded good, and so that's what they say, but that's not Scripture. Ask, seek, knock. The verb in there is keep on, keep on, keep on. This guy was pleading. He was, you know, I can almost see him. It doesn't say this, so this is just Rob's version of thought, but I can see him grabbing a hold of the ankles of Jesus and just saying, Jesus, please have mercy. My little girl's dying. Please, Lord, will you please help us? Will you please come and speak the word and she'll live? Will you come and help? How about the servant in Matthew chapter 18 that he owed his master millions of dollars in value, and so the master was settling up and he calls him in and says, I need my money. You're past due. And he says, sir, I don't have it, but I'll get it. Please be merciful. Give me time. And he says, nope, I've given you all the time. You're going to prison. You're going to debtor's prison. You know what? We're going to go get your wife and we're going to go get your kids and we're going to imprison them. They're going to become servants to somebody, put them on the servant block, and they're going to be auctioned off, and you'll stay in prison and they'll stay servant in servanthood. We'll take in everything you have. If you have a house, if you have a bank account, it's all gone. It's mine until you find some way to pay me everything, and then I'll let you out of prison. Then they'll come out of servitude. And he cries out and he begs the master for mercy over this bill that was owed and not to be thrown into prison. Crying out, Paul was pleading with God. The truth is, the first response that some people give when God doesn't come through for them isn't to press in. They don't press in. They don't chase after God. They don't seek Him more. They just kind of give up. They give up on God. They give up on praying, like Ted Turner. They never get to the level where they're pleading with God. And God wants us sometimes when the heavens are silent, not to give up, but to keep coming back and keep pouring out our heart and keep pouring to God. Folks never get to that level. They may have hinted, suggested, and even asked, but they haven't pled with God. And the only reason that Paul stopped praying in this particular request was because he got his answer. The Lord said, no. The answer was no. Paul then accepted that answer and he continued on with his life, trusting that God always knows best. There's a little acronym, you've heard it before, maybe it's called PUSH. You ever heard it before? Pray until something happens. Church, we've got to be a praying church. If you want God to work and move and do, and God will do, even if the answer is not what you're expecting, if you're asking for a yes answer and you get a no answer to that and you get something else, it's what God knows is best for us. It's going to bless us in the long run, in the eternal run, for the best. And so push. Pray until something happens. Don't give up praying. Pray until something happens, either to change your situation or to change you. One or the other. I was driving into the office yesterday and I came across a song I'd never heard before. Some of you may know it. It's kind of a contemporary song by Matthew West and it says, Don't Stop Praying. Ever heard it? Don't Stop Praying. Listen to a couple of the words in here. I'm not going to read the whole song. What's your impossible? Your I need a miracle. When you're barely hanging on by a thread. What looks so hopeless now? What weighs you down, or what weighs down your heart with doubt? You beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of a breakthrough yet. When you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come, and you don't know why. And you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door and let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing because mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying, so don't stop praying. He's close to the brokenhearted and saves those that are crushed in spirit. The Alpha and Omega knows how your story ends. Don't stop praying for the prodigal. Don't stop praying for the miracle. Don't stop praying that addiction's end. Don't stop praying for deliverance. Oh, don't stop praying for the sickness healed. Don't stop praying for His power revealed. No, don't stop praying for the kingdom come. Don't stop praying that His will be done. No, don't stop praying. Man, that just charged my batteries yesterday. It charged me up yesterday, and I thought, God, I know I'm supposed to preach this. This is just kind of your little sign to me as I was coming in, and knowing that today there are those among us that need this encouragement. The heavens are silent right now, but God's not busy with somebody else. God's not distant from you. God's not abandoning you this morning. Little poem by Edgar Agassiz, and I'll close with this. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, When the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer when it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And when you never can tell how... And when you can never tell how close you are, it may be nearer when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. And when things seem worse, you must not quit. Amen. That's not Bible, but that'll line up. That'll preach, and that'll line up with the Word of God this morning. Don't quit. Keep seeking the face of God. Keep pushing. Keep praying. When you feel like you can't take another step, remember the song by Matt West, Don't Stop Praying. Remember this little poem. If you need me to give it to you, I'll make you a copy. I'll give you what I got, and I'll make copies, and I'll make sure you have them. But hold on to faith in God, to trust in God, to everything that God has. God's got an answer. He will always answer His children. He knows where you're at this morning. He knows your difficulty. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back, and we're going to pray in just a moment, close out this service. Don't quit. We'll get to the next week. We're going to, point two will be listen for God's voice, and point three will be trust in God's strength. And that's all right in our text this morning. And you'll see how God came through for Paul. You'll see how He worked it out, how victory came in Paul's life, and how victory is going to come in your life and my life as well. And so pray with me, and then we're going to sing this closing song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this word this morning. Thank You that it's never that You're not there, that You're abandoning us. It's just that we feel that way sometimes, and that's because the enemy of our soul would love to make us like Ted Turner, just throw in the towel and say, God's not here for me, I quit. God, give us resolute, give us fortitude, give us strength today. Let the Holy Spirit pour into every heart and every life that's here. God, we want to trust You today with all of our lives. God, I pray for every need and every situation, every person that's thinking, man, I just really needed to hear this today, that God, that You would begin to do a work in their heart by Your precious and powerful Holy Spirit. You would do that today, this morning, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me as Sherry leads us? Let's sing this chorus together.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living. Just
sing it one more time. Sing it again.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow because He lives.
Hallelujah, Lord.
All fear is gone because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because He lives.
Father, as we leave this place today, remind us throughout this day and throughout every day of this week, this little course, remind us that you're with us, that you promise never to leave us, never to forsake us. God, when the heavens are silent and when we don't feel like you're there, that's when our faith needs to kick in and become even more focused on the fact of your word. You'll never leave us. So you're there. We just don't feel it. We just don't see it. God, help us to keep pushing and keep praying. Now, Lord, I ask that you'd go with every person, meet every need. As we walk out of this place today, let your hand rest upon us. Let your victory go before us. Let the angels of the Lord encamp around about us, keeping us strong and keeping us safe, giving us the opportunities to serve you this week in this community. Lord, we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Have a great week.